Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yesterday we had started the chapter in regards to sunnat and nafil namazes. So further he writes, itni namaze to shara ki taraf se muqarrar hai, that these namazes is what has been stipulated from the side of shariat. The namazes that we made mention of yesterday, all the various sunnat, for example before fajr so many sunnat, before zohar, before asr, after maghrib, before and after Isha. So he says, this is what has been stipulated from the side of Shariah. Agar he says, zyada parne ko kisi ka ji chahe, to jitna chahe zyada pare. And if a person wants to read more than this, then according to how much you want to read, you can read much more nafil namaz than this also. Aur jis waqt ji chahe pare. And whenever you want to read nafil namaz, you can read nafil namaz. Fakat itna khyal rakhe ke jin waqton mein namaz parna makruh hai, is waqt na pare. But this much a person should remember, that at those times when it is makruh to read namaz, at that time he mustn't read nafil namaz. For example, at the time of sunrise and 15 minutes after sunrise, don't read nafil namaz at that time. And approximately 20 minutes before sunset, don't read nafil namaz at that time. And at the time of zawal, person shouldn't read nafil namaz. Farz aur sunnat ke siwa, jo kuch parhegi, isko nafil kehte hai. Besides the farz and sunnat, so in farz, wajib is included. Farz, wajib, and sunnat, any other namaz that you read besides faraz and sunnat, then it is considered as nafil. Jitni ziyada nafle parhegi, utna hi ziyada sawab milega. That how much more nafil namaz a person will read, according to that, that much, that is how much more sawab a person will get. Iska koi had nahi hai, there is no limit to it. In fact, the more nafil that a person reads, this is the means of gaining closeness to Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala. So a person, the more nafil, the more closer a person gets to Allah. بعض خدا کے بندے ایسے ہوئے ہیں کہ ساری رات نفلے پڑھا کرتے تھے. There are certain servants of Allah تبارک و تعالی, whole night they read نفل نماز اور بالکل نہیں سوتے تھے. They never used to sleep at all, like Imam Abu Hanifa رحمت اللہ علیہ. For 40 years, the same wudu that he read Isha نماز ہوت, فجر نماز he read was the same wudu. Because whole night he used to read one Quran, every night one Quran, one Quran Sharif Khatam he used to make. So there were those servants of Allah Ta'ala also, that whole night they used to be in the ibadah of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Baazi naflo ka thawab bohut ziyada hota hai. Some nafil namaz, the reward is much more. Is liye aur naflo se unka parna behtar hai. Therefore, these namazes where the thawab is much more in comparison to other nafil namazes, it is better that a person, he reads this nafil namaz. Ke thori si mehnat mein bohut thawab milta hai. Because in this nafil namaz where there's more reward, here you're reading this nafil namaz, more reward in a little time. So because the thawab is more in comparison to others, so here you're making less effort and you're getting more reward. So rather engage more in this type of nafil. Wo ye hai. Now which namazes are such that there's more thawab in it in comparison to other nawafil? The first is tahiyyatul wudu. That when a person, he makes wudu, then after wudu a person, he reads two rakats of namaz, which is called tahiyyatul wudu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard the footstep of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala in Jannah. So he asked Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala that what special action you do, that your footsteps was heard in Jannah. So and that Bilal radiallahu ta'ala mentioned this. He says that whenever my wudu breaks, then I perform fresh wudu. And I read two rakats of nafil namaz, which is tahiyyatul wudu. For this, this action is so great that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard his footsteps in Jannah. So a person, he makes wudu, he comes into masjid, or not necessarily you have to come in a masjid also, wherever you are, you just read two rakat, tahiyyatul wudu also. And if a person is coming, for example, in a masjid, and he, for example, he comes, he makes his wudu and he comes in a masjid, and he reads some other nafil namaz in a masjid. So in that nafil namaz, you make your niyat of tahiyyatul wudu also. In nafil, you can make many, many niyat. For you can make tahiyyatul wudu, you came into the masjid, you can make tahiyyatul masjid, or if a person, you want to make niyat of salatul tawbah, Salatul Shukr, all these niyats, a person can combine in nafil namaz, many, many niyats are permissible. Similarly, if a person came into the masjid, he came and joined into the faraz namaz. So he wants to make niyat of tahiyyatul masjid. So in that faraz namaz, you make your niyat of tahiyyatul masjid, also it will be included automatically. Number two, ishraq. Another nafil which has a lot of thawab is the ishraq namaz. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that a person that sits in the masjid, and he makes the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala after Fajr Salah, tilawat of Quran Sharif, he doesn't get involved in any worldly conversation, and then after 10-15 minutes after sunrise, he reads 2 rakat of namaz. Then he gets the reward of an accepted hajj and an accepted umrah. So look how great the reward is here. Just 2 rakat, but one accepted hajj, one accepted umrah sawab you got. The third is salatul duha, chashed namaz. This is approximately about normally best time to read it, about 9:30, 10 o'clock that a person reads this. Here the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that every person, we got 360 joints in the body. And for every joint of the body, a person should give sadaqah. So the hadith says, Subhanallah is sadaqah, Alhamdulillah is sadaqah, Allahu Akbar is sadaqah. To remove a harmful object from the road, this is all considered as sadaqah. So every day you have to give sadaqah for every joint of the body. But by reading this 2 rakats of salatul duha, is like as though he has given sadaqah for his entire body. Otherwise, if a person, he got a car, then the car has to go every year for service. You have to oil the car, you have to change this, you have to change that. Then the car will work properly. But from the day we're born, we don't have to change any part. Over here, we don't have to go for service also. Allah Ta'ala is keeping everything perfect. So for that, a person has to pay now. Give that sadaqah of that. And that is by reading Salatul Duha. The fourth is Awabin. That is after Maghrib Salah. Where a person reads Awabin Salah. So here a person, minimum 6 rakats a person can read. Or he can read maximum up to 20 rakats. So any person that reads even 6 rakats of Awabin, it is like he gets the reward of making 12 years ibadat. 12 years sawab he gets just for reading these 6 rakats. And that too, it is so easy. That a person after Maghrib, he is reading the 2 sunnahs. So in the 2 sunnahs, he makes niyat there, of awabin as well. Then he reads 2 nafil. In day, he makes niyat. So 4 is already finished, because 2 sunnahs and 2 nafil, everyone has to read. And after the 2 nafil, read 2 more rakat. So you already made it 6, that's the shortcut. Best is a person reads the 6 separately, but if a person wants to take the quick road now. So this way, he'll get the full reward of awabin as well. Another narration, it comes, that if a person has committed so much of sin, that it is like the foam of the ocean, and he reads the Salatul Awabin, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will forgive all his gunas. That's why Allah says that now a person, Allah Ta'ala has cleansed him, Allah Ta'ala has purified him. So now like a child, in the night, when the child now, he played the whole day outside, he's full of sand, full of mud, now he comes into the home. So now when he comes in the home, the mother tells him, get first to the bathroom. So she washes him up, takes out his dirty clothes, now she puts clean clothes now, put the pajama on for the child. Now this is your clothes for sleeping. So what she tells the child now? Now don't go and get messed up again. Don't get dirty again. Now stay clean, you're going to go to sleep after this. So just like this now, a person, the whole day he was out at work. So at work, somewhere he didn't look after his eyes. Somewhere a person said something wrong. So much of guna a person could have got involved in during the day. So now when he comes in the evening, Maghrib time, now you're going to go home after Maghrib, have your supper, then Isha, and then you're going to get retired to bed. So just like that now, after Maghrib you read your Salatul Awabin. So now don't go make yourself dirty again. Whole day you were out, a person got dirty with gunas. So now a person don't go home, sit in front of the TV, because now you're going to get into more guna now. Now a person shouldn't be listening to those things that he's not supposed to listen to, music, whatever it might be. So once you cleanse, now stay clean. So that is the Salatul Awabin. And then a very important salah is the Salatul Tahajjud. This is the king of Nawafil. From all the Nawafil, the king of nafil is tahajjud namaz. According to some ulama, they say, for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this namaz was farz. It was farz for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And others say that it was not obligatory for Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last is salatul tasbih. The procedure of salatul tasbih will come, that what a great salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his uncle, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, what a great nafil namaz this is. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, at least, if you can't do it, it will come to the narration, at least once in your life, at least. At least once in your life, do it. And here, mashallah, we got plenty of time. We can do it. A person in the morning also, he can do it. Person in the evening, at night, he can do it. The odd nights are coming. So at least once, a person, once in his life, that is minimum. That is maybe for somebody that's weak, he can't do it. But we, if we are young, we got strength, mashallah. Then, rather than wasting our time, these are the type of nawafil we should engage in. And the sawab also is so great. تحیت وضو اس کو کہتے ہیں کہ جب کبھی وضو کرے تو وضو کے بعد دو رکعت نفل پر لیا کرے. تحیت الوضو is that whenever a person makes wudu, then after wudu read 2 rakat nafil namaz. Hadith میں اس کی بڑی فضیلت آئی ہے. In the hadith, there's great virtue that has been mentioned for this. لیکن جس وقت نفل نماز مکروہ ہے اس وقت نہ پڑے. Like, but at the time when it is makruh to read nafil namaz, like I explained just now, Then at that time, don't read Tahiyyatul Wudu. Now you made wudu, but you know now is the time of sunrise. So now you can't read. So you wait after 15 minutes or so. So at that time, when it's a makruh time, now a person shouldn't read. Ishraq ki namaz ka ye tariqa hai. What is the method of reading Ishraq? Jab fajr ki namaz par chuke, you finish read your fajr namaz. To ja namaz par se na uthegi, na uthe. Then don't wake up from the musalla. After fajr namaz, sit on the musalla. That place where you are sitting, remain there. Is jagah baithe baithe durood sharif ya kalima ya aur koi wazifa padti rahe. That while sitting there, a person should read durood sharif, recite kalima la ilaha illallah, read some wazifa, whatever it might be, or Allah ki yaad mein lagi rahe, and remain engaged in the remembrance of Allah. Or a person makes tilawat of Quran, he's reading Quran sharif at that time. So whatever ibadat, but engage in some form of ibadat. Dunya ki koi baat cheet na kare. Don't talk about worldly affairs at that time. Na dunya ka koi kaam kare. And don't do any worldly work. Because this time, reserve it now for the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Jab suraj nikal aave, aur uncha ho jaave, to do rakat ya char rakat par le. Now, when the sun rises, becomes a bit high, then read 2 rakat or 4 rakat. To ek hajj aur ek umrah ka sawab milta hai. The person will get the reward of 1 hajj and 1 umrah, just for reading these 2 rakat. Agar fajr ki namaz ke baad kisi dunya ke dande mein lag gayi, phir suraj uncha ho jane ke baad ishraq ki namaz par hi, to bhi durust hai, lekin sawab kam ho jayega. If a person, after fajr, he didn't manage to sit in that place and make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala or tilawat or whatever it might be, for some reason this person had to engage in some worldly matter, so he got involved in business. So for this person, he decided that, you know what, I'll read my ishraq namaz, that's 15 minutes after sunrise, I'll read ishraq. So no problem. For him, he can still read the Ishraq namaz at that time, 15 minutes after sunrise. But the sawab will be now less. In comparison to, if you sat in the masjid, and you made the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, or made tilawat of Quran, you'd have got much more reward. So here also it is okay, but the reward is going to be a little less. Phir jab suraj khub zyada uncha ho jawe, aur dhoop tez ho jawe, tab kam se kam 2 rakat pare, ya isse zyada pare, yani 4 rakat, ya 8 rakat, ya 12 rakat par le, isko chash kehte hai, iska bhi bohut sawab hai. And then when the sun becomes more higher, initially it's little high, that's when you read Ishraq, and it becomes more high, like I said, 9:30, 10 o'clock at that time. Then a person, and it gets a bit more hot, then a person should read another 2 rakat, which is minimum. Or he can read more than that, 4, 6, 8, 10, up to 12 rakat. This is referred to as chashed. For this also, there's a lot of reward, like I explained. Maghrib ke farz aur sunnaton ke baad kam se kam 6 rakate aur zyada se zyada 20 rakate pare. Isko awabin kehte hain. After the maghrib farz and sunnat, a person should read minimum of 6 rakat or maximum of 20 rakat. This is referred to as awabin. At least if Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq, like if a person is free, but then at least once in his life try and read the 20 rakat. Not always 6 rakat. 6 rakat is shortcut. And at least once in our life we get a chance, read 20 rakat. Like for example, here we have to go and eat. So no problem, go and eat. Because now those people also got to finish their work downstairs. So after they finish their work, after we finish eat over there, then we come back up. Now we're free right up till Isha. So still you can read your awabin namaz. So a person, he finished maybe 6 rakats and then he went down. So when you come up again, now if you want to continue, continue. How many more rakats you want to read? Right up to 20 rakats. Aadhi raat ko utkar namaz parne ka bara hi sawab hai. To wake up half the night and now to engage in tahajjud namaz, the sawab is very very great. Isko tahajjud kehte hain. Ye namaz Allah Ta'ala ke nazik bohut makbool hai. This namaz is accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Very very accepted in the court of Allah. Aur sabse zyada iska sawab milta hai. The most sawab that you will get for engaging in nafil is the reward you will get for tahajjud namaz. This is the most sawab. Tahajjud ki kam se kam 4 rakate aur zyada se zyada 12 rakate hai. According to Hazrat Rice here, he says for tahajjud, minimum is 4 rakat and maximum is 12 rakat. Na ho to 2 hi rakate sahi. He says if you can't do that, minimum of 4, maximum of 12, then he says even if you read 2 rakat tahajjud, even that is sufficient, that is also correct. Agar pichli raat ko himmat na ho, to isha ke baad par le. And if a person doesn't have the ability of waking up in the last portion of the night, because best is to go to sleep, and thereafter a person wakes up in the last portion of the night and then he reads tahajjud. So he says, if a person doesn't have the courage, I won't be able to wake up at that time. So isha ke baad par le, then read your tahajjud after isha. After the 2 sunnats of isha, you read your forefathers. After the forefathers, you read two sunnat. After the two sunnat, now read your tahajjud namaz. And after tahajjud namaz, now read your witr salah. So you already did your tahajjud after Isha. Magar waisa sawab na hoga. But a person, he won't get so much sawab like when you woke up in the night and you read your tahajjud. That much sawab you won't get. Iske siwa, bhi raat din mein jitni chahe nafle pare. And besides this also, during the day, during the night, how much of nafil you want to read, then engage in much nafil as possible. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll do salatul tasbih. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In regards to roza, fasting, on Saturday we had discussed those things that break the fast of a person. So here he said there are certain things that make only qaza compulsory, and some things that make qaza and kafara compulsory. And he said qaza is where a person, he broke his fast for a valid reason. The Sharia said now you must only keep another fast in place of this. That is qaza. And kafara is where you must keep that fast that you broke plus 60 other fasts. So in other words, 61 fasts. That is kafara. So now he's telling you which things will make qaza and kafara compulsory. Number one, eating, drinking, cohabitation, or breaking the Ramadan fast in any other manner. Example, smoking. These things will make qaza and kafara compulsory. Meaning if a person in Ramadan is fasting, and now while fasting, he says, no, today I'm tired, I don't want to fast today. So he just ate. So the moment you broke that fast, you didn't have a valid excuse for breaking that fast. Now, you cannot say after Ramadan, I'm going to keep qaza, I'm going to keep this one fast and sort it out. No. Now it will become 61. Now you'll have to keep 60 and this one. And that 60 also consecutively, one after the other. You can't miss. If you miss one in between, you started keeping your 60. You came to 31, 30 or 31. After 31, you stopped. You said, hey, today I'm tired now, I'll take a break for one day. Finish. You must start again. Start your 60 all over again. Yes, there is a concession in Shariat. For example, if a person made this mistake in his life, for example, he was in school. So, let's assume when he became baligh now, he was 16 years old. And when he was 16 years old, one day he ate. So, he broke his fast intentionally. Now, he has to give kafara for that. Then, he never gave the kafara. Then, when he was 17 years old, he did it again. So, there's two times he did it. Then, when he was 18 years old, he did it again. One day, he broke his fast. So, in other words, this man supposed to be fasting, doing the kafara three times. He's supposed to do it one for when he was 16 years old, 17 years old, and 18 years old. But he never made that kafara after. After 16 years, when he broke that fast, he never fixed it up. He never kept the 61. After 17, he never kept the 61. So now, when he did it after, when he was 18 years old, now Allah Ta'ala gave him tawfiq. He said, you know what, let me make tawbah. But now I want to make kafara for the fast that I broke. So now this person, it's easy for him. Because he has to give one kafara. So in other words, three fasts that he broke. One when he was 16, one 17, one 18. So these three. Plus the 60. So 63. But let's say when he was 16, he broke the one. Then after Ramadan, he said, you know what, let me make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. And I need to now keep the kafara. So he fasted 61 fasts. Then when he came to 17, and then he broke one. So now, he'll have to keep kafara again, because the one for 16 is already done. Now for 17, he has to do another one. And then, let's say at 17, after Ramadan, he kept the 61. And then at 18, he broke again. Then at 18, he will have to keep 61 again. So it all depends. If a person never fixed it up in his life, and later on he got the tawfiq, then it's only one kafara, and the number of fasts that he had missed in his life. And if a person already completed it, and he did it in future again, then he cannot say that now I'll just suffice on that one that has been done, but each one will be separately. So he's saying, so if a person eats or he drinks, or a person, he had relation with his wife whilst in Roza, so now qaza and kafara will be compulsory, because you broke your fast by having relation with your wife. Whilst you were fasting, you are not supposed to go to your wife. Now you went to your wife, and you fulfill your desire with your wife. So here there will be 61 fasts that you will have to keep, because that fast already broke. When you had relations with your wife, the fast broke. So for this, you must keep now 60 plus that one that you broke for that day. Or if a person, he smoked in Ramadan, So by smoking also same rule is going to apply. Your fast broke. So when your fast broke, now just keeping qaza of one is not enough. Now it must be 61. So that is kafara. To drink any kind of medicine intentionally, a person, he bought medication and he took the medication intentionally, then also a person has to give kafara. Number three, applying surma in the eye or rubbing oil on the head and then thinking that the fast is broken to eat or drink intentionally. What happened was a person, he put surma in the eye. So now when he put surma into the eye, he thought that by this action of mine, my fast broke. But in reality, his fast didn't break. Or he rubbed oil on the head. And by this action, his fast didn't break. But he thought that by rubbing oil on my head, now my fast has broken. And now, thinking that his fast has broken, this person said, now my fast is broken, so I can eat. Or I can drink. So he started eating and drinking. Then also, because although it was based on a misunderstanding, then to a person will have to now fast 61. For that one that he broke, plus the 60 as kafara. Things that make qaza only compulsory. Those things by which only qaza become compulsory. There is no kafara. Anything put by force into the mouth of a fasting person. Meaning you never eat anything. But somebody came and they forced something into your mouth. And they forced you to eat it. So in this case, you didn't eat it. So therefore there will only be qaza. You won't have to keep 61. Now you just keep qaza of the one that was missed. Number two. Water going down the throat while gargling. And the person is conscious that he is fasting. Intentionally, a person didn't drink water. But whilst making wudu, he was conscious, I am fasting. And maybe one drop of water now went down the throat. So his wudu is, his fast is now broken. But for this, there is no kafara. A person will only make qaza. Whilst making wudu or ghusl in Ramadan, one should not insert water into the nostrils to such an extent that it reaches the soft portion of the nose. When a person is making wudu or ghusl, then don't push the water so much into the nose that now it comes right up to the soft part. Very slightly. When a person gargles also, don't take it in. Just gargle slightly and let it out. Similarly, one should not allow water to reach the throat. Number three, vomiting a mouthful intentionally or returning vomit down the throat, even if a small amount. This can be categorized in two ways. One is involuntarily. Not on a person, not intentionally, the vomit came out and it was a mouthful. So when the vomit came out unintentionally and it was a mouthful, now a person took it down. He took the vomit down. So this person, his roza is now broken because he took it down. So unintentionally it came out, but a person intentionally took it down. So the roza of a person becomes invalid. Or voluntarily, on your own, a person who took out vomit. A person intentionally, he took out vomit. Whether this was mouthful or not, or it was just a little bit, and a person then swallowed it, then also the fast of a person will be invalid. So if it was voluntarily, he took it out and just a little bit, and he took it down, then the roza of a person is invalid. Whether he took it down or not, that doesn't matter. But he took the vomit out intentionally, so the roza of a person will be raised. And if it was involuntarily, a mouthful, that a person he vomited and he took it down, they is going to break. Intentionally swallowing a pebble, piece of paper or any item that is not used as food or medicine. Person, paper, he doesn't eat. Or a pebble, he doesn't eat. But any such item, plastic or something he was biting, and then he took this down, he swallowed it. So then to the roza of a person is going to break. And we just do one more. Swallowing something edible, equal to or bigger than a grain of gram, which was stuck between the teeth. Something that was stuck between the teeth, but it is bigger than a grain of gram, bigger than a chana. So something that was stuck between the teeth, but it is bigger than a gram, then the roza of a person will be invalid. But if it was, for example, out of the mouth, then it doesn't matter about the size. If it was in the mouth, then it must be bigger than a gram, then the fast will break. But if it was out of the mouth, irrespective of the size, how small it could have been, if a person from outside put anything into the mouth and he swallowed it, then the fast of a person will be invalid. That's what he says. However, if it is first taken out of the mouth and swallowed, it will break the fast even if smaller than the size of a gram. Here it doesn't matter. When you draw from outside, if you bring it in, whatever size, your fast will break. But if it was stuck between the teeth, then it must be the size of a gram or more to break the fast. If it is smaller than a gram, then in that case, your fast won't break. Based on the above ruling, if any of the miswak strands enter the stomach, the fast will not be invalid. So based on this, a person was using the miswak. So now there was, for example, one small strand of miswak maybe that was stuck in between the teeth. And now a person had swallowed that. So this is generally smaller than a grain of gram. So therefore there, the fast of a person will be valid. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Coming to Anwar al-Salah, we had comments on Saturday. We said that a person, he should make much, he should practice on this sabah. And then when a person commences his salah, then his niyyah should be specifically for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That I am performing this salah only for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we mentioned that what level of ikhlas is desired and by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That if a person, there's a little interference in that ikhlas of his, then that ibadah in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not accepted. And we gave the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That there were three occasions in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam where he acted upon tawriyah. And only two Allah ta'ala mentioned. The one where he looked into the stars and he said, I'm sick. So that Allah ta'ala mentioned because it was done only for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Where he broke the idols and he said, bal fa'ala, he did it. Referring, who was he? So here Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam did it, but they took the understanding that it was the idols that had done it. So that was also done specifically and purely for Allah ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. But when they came across the king, and the king got hold of both of them, and he took the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he had evil intention with the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's mentioned in the hadith, it's a lengthy incident, but it's mentioned in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that when this king, he took the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and now he intended to fulfill his haram desire, what did she do at that time? She didn't just leave things also. Immediately she made wudu, and she read two rakats of namaz. So see, her attention, it went immediately to Allah ta'ala. And then she made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, don't give this kafir the upper hand over me. That, oh Allah, I want to remain chaste. I want to remain pure. And if I want to remain chaste and pure, Allah, don't give this kafir the upper hand over me. It is mentioned immediately that seeing he started choking. He started choking. When he started choking, he started kicking his leg on the ground. So at that time, she got frightened. She says, oh Allah, that if this person, has to die, I'm just trying to think of the words that come in the hadith. Okay, I can't remember the exact words at this stage. But he said, if this person will have to die, then it will be said, يُقَالْ هِيَ قَتَلَتْهُ. It will be said that this is the woman that killed him. فَأَرْسِلْ وَاللَّهِ leave him, let him go. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala freed him. Then he came back to normal. So the moment he came back to normal, again he went forward. Now he wants to fulfill his desire with her. So again, she started her namaz, again dua, again he started choking, started kicking his leg on the ground. So when this happened, again she got frightened. So when she got frightened again she made dua, that Allah, let him go. Allah, let him go. Otherwise the people are going to say, I killed the king. Then I'm going to have a double problem. So Allah Ta'ala left him. So for the third time he went back. And for the third time when he went back, again, she went back to her namaz. She never gave up also. Every time he went to evil, she went back to her salah. And she started making dua. So on the third time, when she made dua that Allah leave him, that Allah Ta'ala left him. So this time, she says that you have brought to me a shaitan. Wallahi ma arsalta ilayya illa shaitana. That you have sent to me a shaitan. So take this woman away from me. This is not a normal human being. So look at the power when she turned to Allah Ta'ala and she performed salah. So he said that take this woman away from me. So when he freed her, when he let her go, so at that time he gave her the slave girl by the name of Hajar. This is that slave girl that was taken and given to Hazrat Sarah. And then she took the slave girl and she gave to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And then later Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam then made nikah with Hazrat Hajar. And that is from where Ibrahim alayhi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was born. So this is that whole incident. But look, this incident, Allah Ta'ala didn't make mention of it in the Quran. In the Quran, no way you'll find this incident. Why? Because in here, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had his own motive also. That a man, he does not like anyone to touch his wife. So that is why here he acted on the tawriyah. He said, Hazi ukhti Sarah, this is my wife Sarah. My sister Sarah. He didn't say this is my wife. So this, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, didn't mention, because that level of ikhlas was not found. It is mentioned, the wife of Harun al-Rashid, the great king of Baghdad. So Harun al-Rashid, his wife, Zubaydah, there was a time in Makkah Sharif where there was no water. There was no water in Makkah al-Mukarramah. So arrangements were made for water. And who made the arrangement? This wife of Harun al-Rashid, Zubaydah. So what she said? He said that we need to bring water, we need to build a canal that will bring water into Makkah Sharif. And where the water will run from, all the way from Taif. Taif is out of the haram of Makkah. A man that goes to Taif and you come back to Makkah, you have to put on ihram again. And then you must enter Makkah Sharif. So Taif is out of the haram of Makkah. So from Taif, bring the water all the way to Makkah al-Mukarramah. So she called all her engineers and she told them, you know what, this is what needs to be done. So they said, this is a very costly exercise. It's going to be very, very expensive. For us to draw water from there and this canal to run all the way to Makkah Mukarramah, it's going to be expensive. So she said that for every spade, if I have to pay one gold coin, then I'm prepared to pay one gold coin for every spade. Like today's time, what we'll say? One Kruger coin. I'll give for every spade. So imagine what the amount he was prepared to pay. He said, but I want to make intizam and an arrangement for the hujjaj that they must get water. So on that arrangement was made. They said, okay. And then they built this canal. For 800 to 900 years, Hujjaj benefited from this. Today, mashallah, Zamzam is easily available. But at that time, it wasn't so easy. So the Hujjaj had benefited from this Nahr, it was called Nahr Zubaydah, for 800 to 900 years. So when she passed away, her Khadima saw her in the dream. And she saw that she's enjoying the bounties of Jannat. So she asked her, she told her, that I knew you're going to go to Jannat. Because what great khidmat you had done, what social work you had done. Look at that Nahr Zubaydah, how many people had benefited from. She says, when I came before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala says that for that you have done, the reward has gone to its owners. Meaning no sawab for you in that. Why? One reason is this, is that the money that you used to do this, Nahr Zubaydah, to build it, this was done with the public money. People had paid. So that is why there's no sawab for you in this. And then sometimes we do it, now we want people's praise. So when we get the people's praises, so your sawab, you got it already. So what reward a person wants by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So see what level of ikhlas is wanted by Allah. So then the Khadima asked her, she said, then on what basis Allah Ta'ala gave you such a high rank? And Allah Ta'ala blessed you so greatly. So according to some, they say that on one occasion, she says that I asked my Khadima to bring a glass of water for me. So this glass of water was brought. And just then the azan was called. So normally ladies in the home, the scarf that they're wearing, it normally slips off also. So she says when the azan was called, then she respected the azan. And she put the scarf on properly. And she left the water. And after that, she only drank the water after giving jawab and replying to the azan. So on that Allah Ta'ala made her maghfirat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had forgiven her. So look at the level of ikhlas that is wanted by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, he was sent as a general of the army. You know Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala was Saifullah, the sword of Allah. And he always made dua also, that Allah, you must grant me death on the battlefield. But this dua wasn't accepted. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala passed away on his bed. He didn't pass away on the battlefield. And one reason ulama say that he is the sword of Allah. He was given the title sword of Allah. So the sword of Allah can never break. So that is why he couldn't have died on the battlefield. He passed away at home on his bed. So on one occasion, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent him as the commander of the army and they were fighting. So while they were fighting, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala sent another person from Medina Sharif. He said that you go and tell Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala he is dismissed from his position. If he wants to fight, he will have to fight under your supervision. You're going to be the general, the commander. He must fight under you. And if he's not prepared for that, then he can return. He can come back to Madinah to Munawwara. So when this person went, he took the letter and he gave it to Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala. He said, this is from Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So he read the letter. When he read the letter, immediately he said that you're the commander. And he said, I'll fight under you. So now when he was asked that how come that you were so ready to still continue fighting under the new general, whereas you was the general and the commander of the army. He said, the first time I was fighting for Allah. And the second time also when I'm fighting under this person, under the new commander, I'm fighting for Allah Ta'ala. So it made no difference in my life whether I'm the commander or whether I am under somebody. It is done for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so I will continue. So this is the level of ikhlas that is wanted by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That whatever we do, it is only for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in one narration, he said that more silently than an ant, a black ant, on a pitch black night, on a black rock, on a black ant, and you can't see in the dark, and something that's black also. A black ant on a pitch black night, when it's totally dark out in the jungle, yet there's still some light outside. Go out in the jungle, you won't even get any light. So you can't even see there. So that black ant you can't see, you can't even see that black rock sometimes. And in the dark night. So he says, more silently than how that ant moves. If that ant moves in the night, on that black rock, in the night, you can't hear that ant, and you don't know there's an ant over here. So he says, more silently than that, riya and sum'ah, this enters into a person, that desire to show that I'm doing this or I am doing that, and a person now wants to become famous. The desire for riya or this riya enters a person more silently than that also. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, if this is the case, then we are all destroyed. We are all going to be destroyed. Because riya is going to come into us, that desire for fame, ostentation, to show other people that I'm doing this, I'm making so much of ibadat, or a person, he gives charity, that I'm giving so much of charity, or I'm helping some poor people here. So whatever a person is doing, or a man is giving a bayan, or he's reading namaz, and now he wants to show in that bayan, I can give such a good bayan, or I'm reading namaz and I read so well. So in all these things, that desire for show comes in. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, we are all destroyed. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught a dua. And he said, if a person reads this dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect a person from riya. And what was his dua? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika shay'a. Wa ana a'lam. Wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika shay'a. وَأَنَا أَعْلَمْ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِمَا لَا أَعْلَمْ. It is similar to the fifth kalima, but just a slight change. اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك شيئا وَأَنَا أَعْلَمْ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ لِمَا لَا أَعْلَمْ. That if a person he reads this dua, then Allah تبارك وتعالى will protect a person. So this is the level of ikhlas that is desired by Allah تبارك وتعالى. And if this level of ikhlas is not found, then we find that ibadah of a person immediately becomes zero in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So a person should read this dua also morning and evening. And every time a person is in some amal, always check our ikhlas, check our niyat. Who am I doing this action for? Is it for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Or is there any other intention that has come in? And after that, make tawbah also. After that amal, make tawbah. That perhaps, while doing this amal, some riya came in, some show came in, that desire for fame came in whilst I was doing that amal. So a person should make tawbah to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala after that amal. So here also he says that your niyat should be only for Allah ta'ala. And then whilst having this niyat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that I'm doing it for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then a person should say Allahu Akbar. In this way, that a person, he thinks to himself that I have totally withdrawn from both this world. I have now surrendered to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah Jalla Shanuhu ke samne hazir ho gaya hu, and I'm now present before Allah Tabaraka wa Taala. So what we did in the previous sabak, he's now summarizing the whole thing here. Aur kara hone mein bahut adab aur aajizi ikhtiyar kare. Now when a person stands, then he should stand with a lot of humbleness before Allah Tabaraka wa Taala. When you're standing in salah, not that of a haughty person, a person that is proud, but with a lot of humbleness, a person should stand before Allah Tabaraka wa Taala. Lekin hukam ki taamil mein seedha kara ho. But now you have to fulfill the command of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, now you must stand in salah. So in standing now, you must stand straight. Doesn't mean that if you stand humble now, you must be lowered or anything of that sort. The command of Allah is to stand. So you stand straight. But in your standing straight, in there also there must be humbleness. That I'm standing before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Aur nazar sajde ke maqam par jamaye rakhe. And your gaze, which we discussed before, the mustahabbat. That your gaze should be at the place of sajda. Or subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabarak ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk pare. Fir alhamdu sharif pare. Then a person should read surah Fatiha alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, which we all discussed. Us waqt khiyal kare ke mujhe Allah jalla shanuhu ki huzuri ma'iyat aur baham kalami hasil ho gayi. Now when a person is reading surah Fatiha, then a person should think to himself that I'm present before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and I'm engaged in conversation with Allah. Why engage in conversation? Because when you're reciting Surah Fatiha, every ayat that you are reciting, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is responding to you. You said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala responded to that. And Allah Ta'ala will say, Hamidani Abdi. My servant has praised me. When a person says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Asna Alayya Abdi. That your Asna also means that my Banda has now praised me. When a person says, Maliki Yawmi Deen, that you are the master of the day of judgment, then Allah Ta'ala says, Majjadani Abdi, that my Banda, my servant has spoken of my greatness. And when you say, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een, that Allah, it is you that we worship, and it is you that we ask for help. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Hada Baini wa Baina Abdi, wa Li Abdi Ma Sa'ala. This is between me and my servant. And for my servant is what he has asked. Because on one side you say, Iyaka Na'budu. This is the praise of Allah. We worshipping you. And on the other side you are saying, we ask you for help, O Allah. So, there's two things here. The praise of Allah on one side, that is Allah's praise. And on the other side is your work. So Allah Ta'ala says, this is between me and my servant. One side is my praise, one side is his work. And wali abdi ma sa'ala. And for my servant is what he has asked. So, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een. And then ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, from there right till the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala says, Haza li abdi wa li abdi ma sa'al, that this is all for my banda, this is his needs that he is asking for hidayat, the path of those that Allah Ta'ala has favored, and not of the Jews and the Christians. So Allah Ta'ala says, this is for my servant, and my servant will have whatever he has asked for. So a person should think when he starts alhamdulillah, that now I'm in conversation with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Kyunki alhamdulillah sharif aur baad mein surah minana, ye sab kalam ilahi hai. Here he mentions that to recite Surah Fatiha and thereafter to join a surah together with Surah Fatiha, these are the words of Allah. Quran Sharif is whose words? These are the words of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, jo mere zuban par jari hai, which I am uttering now with my tongue. So in other words, a person is in conversation with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he is speaking to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Hadith Sharif mein hai, ki jis waqt banda Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen kehta hai, it is mentioned in the hadith, when a servant he recites Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, تو خدا تعالیٰ فرماتے ہیں کہ یہ میرے بندے نے میری تعریف کی ہے. Then Allah تعالیٰ says, the servant has praised me. اور جب الرحمن الرحیم کہتا ہے تو فرماتا ہے کہ میرے بندے نے میری برائی بیان کی. And when a person says الرحمن الرحیم, then at that time Allah تبارک و تعالیٰ says that my servant, my banda, he has now spoken of my greatness. ایاکن عبد و ایاکن استعین کہتا ہے تو اللہ جل شانہ فرماتے ہیں کہ یہ میرے بندے اور میرے بندے کے درمیان ہے. And when a person reads Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een, Allah Ta'ala says, this is between me and between my servant. اور جو کچھ اس نے مانگا خاص اسی کے واسطے ہے. And whatever he has asked for, that is for him. اور جب اہدنا الصراط المستقیم صراط الذین انعمت علیہم غیر المغضوب علیہم ولا الضالین کہتے ہیں. And when he recites the remainder from اہدنا الصراط المستقیم till the end of the surah, تو فرماتا ہے کہ یہ میرے بندے کے واسطے ہیں. Then Allah تبارک و تعالیٰ says that this is all for my banda, this is all for my servant, whatever he is asking for. اور جو کچھ اس نے مانگا ہے وہ سب اس کے لیے ہے. اسی طرح بعد میں جو سورہ شریف پر ہی جائے گی, and similarly after سورہ فاتحہ, the surah that is recited, اس میں بھی اللہ تعالیٰ سے ہم کلامی ہونے کا دھیان رکھے. Then also a person should concentrate that I am now discussing, I am now talking, I am in conversation with Allah تبارک و تعالیٰ. اس سبق کو پوری مشق جب تک حسب سابق نہ کر لے اگلا سبق نہ شروع کرے. Again he mentioned the same point, that as long as you don't practice upon this sabak, then don't go to the next sabak, but rather practice upon this sabak first. So this is the third sabak that we have now terminated. Coming to the fourth sabak, qada or salam. The qada, the sitting posture, and salam. جس وقت یہ بندہ عرض داشت اور تعظیم اور عرض حاجات اور تسبیح موافق اپنے حوصلے سے کر چکے. When a banda has now presented his request to Allah تبارک و تعالی and showed great honor to Allah تبارک و تعالی and he has praised Allah تعالی in the different postures of salah, he has praised Allah تبارک و تعالی according to his ability, تو قابلیت بیٹھنے کی حاصل کی. Now this person, he has attained the ability of sitting before Allah تبارک و تعالی. He has now made qiyam, he made ruku, he made tajda. The entire namaz is now finished. So when the namaz is now completed, now you are worthy of sitting before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Like when you went to somebody's home, first you knocked, then when the person came, you made salam with the person, you spoke to him a little bit. Now he calls you inside the house, now you can sit and talk to the person. So similarly here also, after going through the various postures of namaz, now you are worthy of sitting before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Agar che baitna samne, aise baadsha ali ja, کہ ترک ادب ہے. Even though sitting in front of a king that is so high, whose status is so lofty, he says this is leaving out adab and etiquette. that normally a person that goes in front of, for example, a great sheikh, or he goes before his ustad, then normally what we do is the ustad has to walk into the room, we all stand up for him. We don't sit. We all stand up out of respect for him. So similarly for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also, this is khilaf adab, this is leaving out etiquette, that a person, he sits in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is the king of all kings, we supposed to be standing before Allah. Yet Allah ta'ala has permitted us to sit before Allah. So what is the reason? Why do we sit before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So he says, lekin mazmoon iska misal par is tarah samjhe. But he says, this subject matter, this is what we are discussing now. He says, understand this by means of an example over here. That how is it that we are sitting before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whereas we supposed to be standing only before Allah. So he says, ye baitna roobaroo apne sahib ke is waaste hai. He says, our standing before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, our sitting before Allah ta'ala is for this reason. Ke masalan jis waqt sahib paav apna daraz kare. That when that lofty king, this is just for our understanding, it's an example just for us to understand the point. So he says that when this lofty king, when this high king, he has to now spread out his feet, aur ye bande ke khidmat paboti ki is par lazim hai. And this servant over here, that for him now it becomes obligatory on him to kiss the feet of this lofty king, bajala. It is now compulsory on him to kiss the feet of this lofty king, ya ye ke muntazir hukam ka hai. Or either he waits for the command of Allah. That why is it that we are sitting? That if that king is there, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the king of all kings, when the king spreads out his feet, we are sitting there so that when he spreads out his feet, then it is obligatory on us to kiss the feet of that king. Or to wait for the command of the king. That what is the command of the king? What is he going to tell us to do now next? That is why we are sitting over here. The masla comes also in the kitab of fiqh. That whether is it permissible, for example, an alim, a person, he kisses the feet of an alim, some great wali of Allah Ta'ala, a very, very pious person. That must you kiss his feet, or are you permitted to kiss his feet, or you not permitted to kiss his feet? So here there's difference of opinion. Some ulama have said, no, there's no problem. You are permitted to kiss the feet of that alim. And others have said, no, don't do it. Stay away from it. Like Allama Shami Rahmatullah Alayh, who is one of the greatest fuqaha, great faqih of the Hanafi fiqh, and all the muftis I need of his kitab. Allama Shami Rahmatullah Alayh says there is concession. A person, he can kiss the feet of an alim. And he brings the dalil, he brings the proof of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one person came to him and he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that show me some miracle by which I will have more conviction and more yaqeen in you that you are the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, he said that go to a particular tree and tell that tree that I am commanding that the tree comes to me. So this sahabi, he goes up to the tree and he tells the tree that Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam has given a command that you must come to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the tree moved from its place and it came to Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam and greeted Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commanded that tree that now go back to your place. So it goes back to its place. This is in Allama Shami Rahmatullah has quoted in his kitab. So he said the tree went back to its place. So he says on that, this person told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, that spread out your feet, let me kiss your feet. And then he kissed the forehead of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. So at this juncture, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that if I commanded anyone to make sajda to anyone else besides Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then I would have commanded the woman to make sajda to the husband. But sajda is not permitted for them, it is only for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is why I didn't even command the woman to make sajda to the husband. From here, Allama Shami Rahmatullah Alayhi draws conclusion. And he says, see, Nabi Alayhi Salaam, if it was not permitted, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam would have not stretched out his feet. But the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stretched out his feet, this is indication that it is acceptable. Those ulama that have said that it is not acceptable, one reason, there are some other reasons as well, but one particular reason that they have said that it is not acceptable and it is not permissible is on this basis, that when one person tells you that, you know what, I want to kiss your feet and you spread out your feet for him, then what is going to be the natural consequence of this is that pride will enter a person. He is going to think, I am somebody now. I am somebody, that is why this person has come to this level, he is prepared to kiss my feet. So this is the reason they have said that it is not permissible. Otherwise we find that even for a person, his mother, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in one narration that a person that kisses the feet of his mother, then he has kissed the threshold of Jannah. So this is the status of the mother also. It's mentioned about one person in the Kitab Al-Mabsut, It is narrated on the authority of Muhammad bin Munkadir. See, Muhammad bin Munkadir. So he says that on one particular night I made the khidmat of my mother. I served my mother for the whole night. And he said, my brother, he spent that same night in the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. But he says that although he made the ibadah of Allah, I made the khidmat of my mother, it wouldn't make me happy to exchange my ibadat, meaning my service of my mother, the khidmat of my mother, for all the ibadat of his entire night. But this in Jawahirul Fiqh, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written, he says when it refers to your kissing the feet, for example, kissing the feet of your mother, he said it doesn't mean over here that a person directly, he kisses the feet of his mother. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says the understanding, the explanation of this is, a person, he touches the feet of his mother, and then he kisses his hand. So he says that is what is referred to over here when a person, or where it mentioned that a person should kiss the feet of his mother, and I give the detailed explanation in regards to kissing the feet of an alim. So here also Allah Ta'ala is the King of Kings. So when you are sitting before Allah, it is with this that if Allah Ta'ala had to spread out his feet, which Allah Ta'ala does not have, Allah Ta'ala is not a human being like how we are. So how Allah Ta'ala is, that is according to the shan of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the status of Allah. We do not know how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is. But with this, that I am at the feet of Allah Ta'ala, I will kiss the feet of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Or whatever is the command of Allah, I will fulfill. Lekin, is maqam ko bhi ibadat se khali nahi rakhna chahiye. Although you are now waiting here for the command of Allah, what is the command of Allah? I am ready to fulfill. I will kiss his feet. But then to this juncture, this position of salah, this cannot be left void of the ibadat of Allah. You are waiting for the command of Allah, but make this posture of salah also an ibadat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Ke tuhfa durood aur salam ka aur parna tashahud ka muqarrar hai. So therefore in this position, when you are sitting now in the qada position, he says at that time also we got the gift of durood and salam. Now we're going to start sending durood and we're going to recite salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at this juncture, a person is now going to read the tashahud. And what is the tashahud? Istarafar attahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. This will require some explanation, the different words, what they mean. So inshallah we will continue from this point tomorrow inshallah.